始まるざますよ。
行くでガンス。
ふんがー。
まともに始めなさいよ。
This is Anime Diet episode number 18, or 18.2, 18.2, like Tokyo 2.
Or like a Microsoft patches.
Or really, sadly to say, Apple patches, because that was what went wrong. You see, this is actually the second time we've recorded Anime Diet Radio episode number 18. The reason being that something went drastically wrong with my computer 2 weeks ago when we tried to record this the first time, and I was forced to use drastic measures that included going into an EVA unit and trying to swim in the LCL to find out what was wrong. But unfortunately, through a very long story that you can talk to me about if you really want to know what was going on, the file was corrupted and we had to junk that entire episode. I'm your host, Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hugh. And next is Jeremy.
Jeremy.
Hello.
Where's Jeremy? See if you can spot him in the little WAV file that you've downloaded.
Ah, I just spotted him over there.
Hi, I'm Jeremy from Los Angeles.
Guys, well, because of some toothache issues, the real Jeremy is not with us today. But in either case, my computer apparently had some keyboard issues, and it was due to an Apple keyboard driver going all kaput. And I had to take it to the store, and they reinstalled the driver, and now all is well.
Ooh. But you were reduced to Zeta Geek for approximately a week.
That's right, because I thought that it was because I'd wiped down my keyboard with a wet cloth and that some of the water had in fact gone into the computer, thus violating one of the cardinal rules of owning electronics, which is that electricity and water do not mix. Go ahead, try it at home. Like, sit in your bathtub and, like, take that toaster and plug it in. Yeah, and drop it in the water. See what happens, you know? You'll find out.
We definitely encourage you to give it a shot. I mean, come on, you know, like, it's DIY era. It's where everybody do it yourself, right? Yeah. Give it your best shot.
Right. But if you're going to do that, please send us your name and your address and your home telephone number so that we can submit your name to the Darwin Award this coming year.
Oh, yes. And please write us in your will before you do it.
That's right.
Unless you're going to be looking at a groundhog sometime next day.
Right. We need to exempt Bill Murray from this. Sorry, you're not allowed to enter this contest.
Darn.
So yeah, basically, we've got a fairly simple show today. It's more or less the same that we always do. We have got a couple of news items, two of which are not about the industry.
Thank God.
And we're going to have a round table section. And actually, we are going to have a mailbag, which was something that I forgot to mention earlier. And so in this case, why don't we go ahead and get started? It seems that the old adage that life imitates art and art imitates life has once again come true for poor young Indonesian Naritar.
In a somewhat gruesome way, you might add.
Right. A young fan of Naruto in Indonesia strangled himself to death after imitating something from the Naruto television series. I wasn't able to find out, actually, which particular episode or which character he was trying to imitate.
But you were practicing the action, right? You were tying yourself up?
I don't think... you see, I'm not in as much despair as the teacher in Sayonara Zetsubo Sensei, so I don't think I have a lot of practice in strangling myself right now. But this has actually prompted a legislator in Indonesia's parliament to take a closer look and possibly to have increased regulation on children's television especially anime and manga, in Indonesia. And he says that comics are not necessarily for children. That very much depends on the substance.
Oh, duh!
Of course, everything he just said right there is, in fact, perfectly true. He is about maybe 10 to 15 years late in realizing that, but it is true. I mean, this is at least not as hysterical as some reactions that I've seen in America to anime, where there are still quite a lot of people who still think of it as all about sex and violence. And like, I remember when Fooly Cooly was actually on Cartoon Network, there was actually a parents' television group or whatever that actually tried to write a whole huge letter-writing campaign against it, saying that it was like, I was totally shocked to discover this cartoon showing at 11 p.m. at night, you know. You know, it's going to corrupt our children and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's only also going to tell other people that you're not responsible for your kids.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And let them stay up until 11 p.m. at night. Oh, well.
Yeah. It was on Adult Swim. Thing is that it's interesting that, first of all, it happened in Indonesia. Indonesia is the world's largest Muslim population in one country. And, you know, it was only relatively recently that Indonesia became relatively democratic after being ruled by a brutal dictator named Suharto for a good many decades. Mm-hmm. He just recently died, actually. It's also interesting that Naruto has enough of a fan base that actually that you would have actual imitators, kids imitating Naruto here. So
a true Narutar to the end.
Indeed, indeed. Well, I don't want to make fun of him, or especially, you know, because there are grieving parents and grieving siblings here, undoubtedly. But it does remind me, actually, in some ways, I don't know, remember about 10 or 15 years ago, but there was a kid who started setting fire to stuff after watching Beavis and Butthead.
You said fire.
Fire. And I remember that was when Beavis and Butthead actually landed on the cover of Newsweek that week. And there was a whole furor about this degenerate cartoon on MTV that was surely like warping teenagers' minds. You know, it was so nihilistic and so so everything here and that. But, you know, the thing with Naruto, I don't know how much Naruto you've watched, Ray. Have you watched any?
None.
I've
basically watched 5 minutes of it, and I know it's Naruto, and I said no. And that was it, because I did not want to be thrown into the middle of a long stretch 50-episode plot, which I wouldn't know what's going on anyway. Mm. Oh, well, it won't matter.
I think it's a little better than that. I haven't seen that much either. I've only seen about maybe a little more than half of the first season and the first 6 episodes of the new Shippuden arc. The Shippuden arc is outstanding, first of all. It is definitely not a kid's show anymore by that point. Whereas, yeah, most of Naruto prior to that was definitely aimed at, like, 10-year-old boys. And Naruto definitely acts like a 10-year-old boy. But there is some real character and real heart. And there's some real lessons even about violence. So it's impossible to really imitate the genuine spirit of Naruto and actually end up like hurting yourself seriously, if you're actually taking what they're saying to heart. Not that we expect like children to really get that necessarily, because I think most of them, if they're anything like DBZ fans, you know, they're probably just longing to see yet another extremely drawn out five episode fight sequence.
Yeah, try 20.
Yeah, exactly. And if all the Naruto cosplayers that I saw at the last con are any indication, their tribe is growing and growing and growing. So,
the legend of Narutards is taking over the world in the green future of Narutards.
Yeah, in the grim future of Narutards, there is only war.
War.
Indeed. I don't know. Maybe the law that gets passed in Indonesia, maybe, is that they're going to have to carry a little, every episode of Naruto will have to carry a little disclaimer, do not try this at home. Kind of like the way every anime after Pokemon called seizures has that little notice that says that, you know, please stand 3 meters away from the television screen and watch this in a well-lit room. And so, I mean, I do kind of find it sad in a way that people have to have those reminders now, like, don't try this at home. Car commercials have to say, this is driven on a professional course by a professional driver. Do not attempt. You know. I just saw a Super Bowl commercial today, actually. Today was, in fact, yes, the Super Bowl. Super Bowl Sunday in America. And
I didn't get Super Bowl here because this is a freaking Taiwan. They refuse to play Super Bowl, even Super Bowl, man. I didn't get any football games, man.
What are they, commies?
Oh, the cousins of commies.
Yeah, the thing is that yeah, there was an ad for was it Volt? I think that's the name of the soda or whatever or energy drink. And and it had a guy clamping electrodes to his nipples and connected to a gigantic truck full of Volt. And yeah, right underneath it was his, in really big letters, it's like, "Do not attempt at home." If people have to be told that you shouldn't try doing something like that, I mean, I fear for this society. Seriously.
You know what's really unfair? Why is it men can go, men go topless and nobody says, this is indecent? And women go topless and people's like, this is indecent. Why is that?
There was a Seinfeld episode about that, actually. I remember from about 10 years back. It's like they all the guys keep showing their nipples. And it's like, you want a nipple? Here's a nipple. We've got nipples, too. But yeah, in either case, the moral of the story is, please don't strangle yourself after watching somebody strangle himself or herself on Naruto. Please.
Okay, you want to use that in a very responsible, deep adult voice, please.
This is Michael Huang of Anime Diet. You may have watched some interesting animations from Japan recently, and particularly one about a young ninja named Naruto. We are here to tell you that some of the things that Naruto does are in fact done by trained martial arts black belt professionals. And so kids, unless you too have a black belt and you too wish to risk your life and limb on the daring exploit of daring do with that shuriken and with that nunchuck and with that tree climbing ability and trying to clone yourself, please, don't do it. This is Michael Huang. The more you know.
Oh, yes. And just a reminder that we here at Anime Diet are professionals.
Yes.
So please, do not try our kind of podcast at home. And do not try to clone your co-hosts.
Or we may just have to come after you. I only hired the best, after all. I'm Gendo.
Yes, that's right. Ikari, Mike Gendo.
Yeah.
And you do not want an Eva crashing your house.
No, you don't. You certainly do not. It would just take a little bit just to wipe off your bloodstain from the foot of my Eva. But for you, well, I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Why don't we go ahead and move on to the next section? You know, I've always had a rather strong suspicion of the moe genres, especially the stuff that is epitomized by key visual arts, the people who brought you Clannad and Canon and Air. And even though I do rather enjoy the Clannad anime, I have to say that the main reason I'm enjoying it, though, is because they're actually holding back on a lot of their cliches. Cliches, as they've been called in the blogosphere. Well, one of my rather long-standing suspicions was that there is something viral about key visual arts material, because it seems that every time they and Kyoto Animation put something out together, the entire anime blogosphere goes nuts. Like, it seems that everybody's blogging about it. Heck, I'm blogging about it.
It sounds like a key virus.
What could possibly be the explanation? Yeah, it sounds almost like a virus. Well,
oh my god, I know what's going on. Your cyber brain has been hacked.
It seems that that is in fact the case, because just recently in Japan, a young man was arrested for uploading none other than a Clannad virus to the internet. Apparently what he did was that there's a peer-to-peer networking network in Japan called Winnie. And Winnie has long been a site where massive amounts of copyright violation was taking place. And recently, three different people were arrested in Japan for illegally uploading various anime or manga-related goods, including episodes of various shows. However, the third one is the most interesting. The third person was caught uploading still pictures from Clannad. Just still pictures. However, if you open that still picture, guess what you got? You got a Clannad virus. That's right. It was a Trojan horse. And apparently, this person, who is, according to the news article, he is a 24-year-old graduate student from Izu Misano City in Osaka. He is the first person in Japan to ever be charged with the writing of a virus.
The Laughing Man!
Yes. And he admitted in an affidavit, according to the police investigation, that he created it. So, he more or less has admitted his guilt.
Oh no, the Laughing Man has been caught! Damn it!
I know! It's like they're a little too efficient. Well, the thing is of course, you know, the Laughing Man only just started something, you see. Now all these other people are going to start imitating him. Actually, last year, there was a Canon screensaver that also contained a virus as well. So this is actually the second time. This is just the first time somebody's been caught.
Oh, wait a minute. Yeah. The real Laughing Man's still somewhere laughing.
That's right. See, this guy was just one of the imitators. The real person is probably embedded deep within the staff either of Key Visual Arts or Kyoto Animation. He's just waiting for all of these anime vloggers out there and people on Toochan to be so overwhelmed by the moe-ness of Key Visual Arts products that they'll just fall for anything, including a virus. And I bet it's not just a virus. I bet it's actually a program to harvest everybody's like email addresses and like and
No, this information in their mind, yeah. Dude. Why? How is it? I saw your diary in the first place. We don't even live together.
What the heck? You saw my diary?
Oh, whoops. Meant, I dreamt of your diary. That's it. See, this is Raymond clone number 10.
Dream.
The real Raymond isn't here.
Apparently, people in Japan and apparently are, to a certain extent, rather gullible. Actually, no, there's another interesting story that's related to this, which is that in Russia, there was actually this chatbot which pretended to be a famous porn star and like wanted to chat with you. Like, they ask ASL and stuff like that. And something like, I don't remember, it was a very large number. It was like at least in the hundreds of thousands or even a million people fell for it, thinking it was actually the porn star talking to them. And every time when you talk back to her and she sent you a link that was supposed to be her picture, you know, you got a virus. And so
this one would definitely pass the torrent test.
Exactly. That was what everybody was saying. This is actually the first ironic passing of the Turing test, because they couldn't tell the difference between a chatbot and a real live porn star. Maybe that says something more about the intelligence of porn stars than it says about the intelligence of the computer.
No, you mean it tells something more about the intelligence of porn watchers.
And that too. Yes. Exactly.
We just don't want to admit it.
Exactly. And so all three people involved here, or all two people, definitely have lots of things in common. And I guess what this Japanese story tells us is that you don't need porn to fool an otaku. You just need a little moe.
And this tells you that so-called Kyoto Prefectural Police's high-tech crime task force is really just Section 9.
Indeed. Because most police forces all around the world are just not good with technology. They just don't know what they're doing.
Hey, it's high-tech crime task force. Or this could be the forebody or the, you know, the ancestors of Section 9.
We'll see Section 9 growing out of this in 25 years. Exactly. And I can't wait to get into one of those tachikomis.
I just can't wait to get my hands on a major. That's... Before she broke my arms, that is.
Yeah. I hear you're still recovering from that, right?
Dude, that's why I'm talking with my mouth and not with my and not with any gestures.
Ah, yes. Gestures. You know, Jerry Energy keeps suggesting that we, like, do a video podcast. Maybe it's good that we don't have a video right now. You know?
I don't think you want to see a couple of fat guys with one of them having broken arms.
Right, right. In either case... According to the final notes on Anime News Network, as currently written, Japan's copyright law only prohibits unauthorized uploaders. It actually specifically allows people to download for private use, which is why prosecutions in Japan have almost exclusively targeted unauthorized uploaders. So, the moral of the story is, please don't play upon people's moe fetishes. Pedo fetishes, please. You will get arrested. They know about it now.
By Section 9.
Exactly.
Of the past.
Right. Anyway, that more or less wraps up this news section for this week. Got a box full of letters.
in my right to read. Some things that you might like to see, but they're all addressed to me.
And here we are with our mailbag, where we answer comments that you left on our previous episode, episode number 17, Almost Barely Legal. Well, we are legal now. So now finally we can start in swearing and committing acts of random acts of violence on all of you.
Breaking the law, breaking the law.
Yes. And we can also get guns and we can shoot you too. So.
And be the shot. That's damn right. So girls, please call us up.
You're free to now. We're legal. Anyway, we've got three people that we like to reply to from our previous episode. Jerry Energy 1 from Sailor Moon Classics USA, Korosora from g.animeblogger.net, and Koneko-chan from animeacademy.wordpress.com.
And they all have very good sites, so please visit them.
Yes, plug, 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 plug. Now, first up is Jerry Energy 1, and he has posted a rather wide-ranging comment. And we are happy, of course, to mention your name on our show, and we've just mentioned it again. So please, thank us. And
you're welcome.
And so apparently you've actually been watching Noane, which is a show I really do need to get into one of these days, because I remember when it was being hawked at, I think it was an icon 2 years ago, and I've heard a lot of good things about it. Did you ever see it, Ray?
No, this was on my list to download, buy, and I just haven't bought it, so. Mm-hmm.
He also mentions Last Exile, which is also a very fine, one of the best works by Gonzo. It has a wonderful soundtrack, it has some very inventive visuals, and lots of great flying scenes. And I'm actually looking at your thing, and I was wondering whether you really are saying that the HD version is already, in fact, out. Because you say in the past tense, I had no problem paying full price for the complete set for the HDTV 1080p format. Because right now, there isn't a lot of anime in HD right now. ADV is actually trying to get into the Blu-ray market soon. But they're having their own financial troubles right now, so who knows whether that will come about at all.
Yeah, even. I don't want to talk about it. We talked about this 100,000 times.
Yeah, no more industry bashing and no more industry analysis. I think we've already washed our hands clean of that subject. So, yeah, well, again, you know, thank you for your kind words on Fred's review of Last Exile. Mm. And finally, you talk about Chobits. You think it's really cute, and that he found it on a discount rack, of all things. Wow. Ooh. I guess it is actually really kind of old. It's definitely a somewhat older show, so it's probably now available on Thin Pack for about $50 for the whole season.
This is when Tanaka Rie was playing like the little girl who only says chi.
That's right. And I have to agree, it's really cute. I think it's actually a very entertaining anime. So yes, I have in fact seen it. I saw it a long time ago, actually. And really, it's actually one of the best... it's probably out of all the robot-made style anime that came out around that time, it's probably the best one out of all of them. I would say that. Because for one thing, I think... the first half of the show had a lot more fan service than the second half. Was I right? Am I right? It was.
Yes.
And it actually tries to start getting kind of serious in the second half.
It had a good turn.
Right. It wasn't too bad. It wasn't the best, but it was also. I didn't think it ruined anything. I mean, I know some anime that had dramatic like mood shifts that just don't work at all, but this is not one of them.
Okay, even without all that theology that you were craving, were drooling from your mouth, craving, I'm as a very normal, quote-unquote, very normal anime watcher, I thought it was a good term.
It was. I mean, I think it was. It transitioned into it pretty well, I think. And that's what matters, because there aren't a lot of anime that do a lot of things competently these days anymore. And so this is... it's, of course, one of the more surprising things about it is that it's by Clamp. It's by the all-female team of artists who normally specialize in drawing a yaoi fanmate.
Drawing, like, guys with very long arms and very long legs and really long body.
Yep. Their latest example being, what is it? Code Geass! That's right! Code Geass. They did the character designs for that. Yeah, and so, yeah, that's Chobits. Chobits is a pretty good show, though, yes. I want to be the very first to buy a PersoCon when they come out. I remember you telling me the same exact thing before, Ray.
That's right. I said those old computers, old puzzle combs should look like that. And I am desperately looking for the unbutton right now.
What? Oh, dear. I think I'd settle for that little chibi one that sits on your shoulder and has a wonderful interface to any computer and can look things up and serve as your GPS navigator, too. I thought that was incredibly cute.
Yes, but it has an unbutton somewhere.
Not there, I'm pretty sure.
You never know.
And when that computer goes to sleep, it really goes to sleep. So, and so yeah, that's actually one thing that I really also appreciate about Chobits is that they could have gotten a lot more computer things wrong than they actually did. They actually sort of, there were a lot of really interesting jokes that were based on computer terms. And
hey, but you know what though? What if you cross the world of Chobits with the world of Ghost in the Shell?
Wow. Well, what? Moe and badass action.
And hacking.
And hacking. Oh, yeah, that's right.
This is a show definitely. This will be a crossword show definitely aimed for guys, so I don't know, like you.
Well, we'll see about that. Actually, isn't the upcoming Manema Sune? Well, no, it's not really Moe, that one, but it is going to have a lot of sex and violence.
Yeah, and I've already downloaded the Chinese sub.
Oh, really? So it's already out? Okay.
Chinese.
Did you watch it?
Oh, the show's out. No, I haven't watched it yet. I just found it this morning. I started to download it, but, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Cool.
Recording, so, yeah.
Anyway, again, Jerry Energy, thanks for writing to us, and we look forward to seeing more interaction with you on our podcast and our website.
Yes, and later to you.
And next, we've got Korosora. Why don't you lead off on this one, Ray?
Let's see. He recommended Jerry Energy to read Yuria 100. But anyway, if you want really want those fan bots. And he's talking about Kitty Gray Post. I don't know if he completed it yet. I should go read it. And for EF, actually, you should be reading that. But basically, he thinks it's okay.
Right. I remember he actually told me that before in another way. That he thought it was very good, but it wasn't a masterpiece. And I think that's defensible, because the originality really isn't in the stories or in the characters so much as in the way it was done. The execution of it was highly original. Though, yeah, you could say it's not really a great breakthrough as art if you compare it to other film. Huh. It's very much takes after French New Wave, as does Evangelion, as does anything that Anno was doing back in the mid-90s.
Like French New Wave? You mean synthesizers and people go, I just turned around away, couldn't get away?
Not quite, though, actually. Damn. 80s New Wave music, that the term New Wave, it takes directly off of the 1960s French New Wave. So they are related. I'm talking about filmmakers like Truffaut, and especially Jean-Luc Godard, and who used a lot of montage, a lot of text on the screen. Flashing text on the screen, actually, and strange camera angles to tell kind of non-linear stories, if they're telling stories at all. And so that's Godard especially. If you watch anything Godard put out in the 60s, you'll definitely see a lot of it. And it's an EF, and anything Anno was doing was definitely takes after that. So it's still generally not done in anime. Anime in general, especially now, is a very safe medium or very safe, very.
Boy. Medium.
It's very, it's definitely a very pandering and very catering medium on the whole, and I appreciated that EF was able to do something both very artistic and still stay true, for the most part, to its visual novel roots. And a lot of people tell me that actually the visual novel is not nearly as, like, interesting or as deep as the anime. So,
speaking of strange camera angles, didn't you get arrested for taking shots at strange camera angles?
I neither confirmed nor denied that rumor, too.
I was kidding,
He also goes on to complain more about product placement, and I've actually been watching a little bit more of Darker Than Black, and I am now starting to notice the Pizza Hut there, too. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's very obvious.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like just right next to a character sometimes, and it's on the train,
right?
And you know, the characters kicking each other's asses, and they're eating pizza, and pizza delivery boy comes in and they say, oh, let's take a break, you know, and then you know, like the fate, like Hayes, like, wait a second, hello, I'm hungry, can I order some pizza? Okay, let's continue.
I think that was Code Geass. That's what they were doing in Code Geass. I'm talking about Darker Than Black. The most memorable scene in Darker Than Black, though, is when they had a real Pizza Hut logo, and then the very next scene, the scene is set in something that looks just like a Starbucks, but they had to change the name of Starbucks to like something else, something really close. And so you have one real corporate logo next to an obviously fake mock-up. And so like the difference is obvious as to who actually paid the money for the show.
Exactly.
So I guess that counts as a kind of blatant, at least contrast. And he's been rewatching Serial Experiments Lane for a philosophy and math class. And yes, I love that show. I almost got into a tiff with some people, actually, defending that show recently. But it was on my EF final review, of all things. But yeah, I love that show, too.
That's right.
He also suggests something about my Gendo moniker. He suggests that I get white gloves, a nice desk, which I already have, glasses, which I already have, and I take a picture in front of a desk with the infamous Gendo pose, which I already have.
But you need the white gloves from Jeremy.
So I'm already 3/4 of the way there, Kurosara. You just need to see, I'm definitely going to be doing it because, you know, as the American political season starts heating up, we need to get the message out there that there is a real candidate for change, you know, and that people would need to stop voting for the same old, and vote for something really different. A naturalized Japanese citizen who has a real plan for restoring the scientific greatness of this country.
And, that's right, and people will never have to be apart again.
Exactly.
We won't have to send our boys abroad to fight against terrorists that aren't even there.
Exactly.
But face the real...
The real enemy's coming, guys. So, yeah, we gotta be ready. Anyway, finally, he concurs with our general opinion that we shouldn't be doing video podcasts.
Yes, that's right.
Maybe one day we can do video reviews. But yeah, in general, the only video we want to do is generally stuff like con reports and other things where I take my video camera and do something actually interesting with it.
Right.
And finally, he makes a suggestion. Why don't you discuss some anime video games? I've only played one H game and felt extremely awkward. I want to play Clannad, though. Well, Ray, I think that's more your department than mine. I think I actually gave you a dating sim once, didn't I?
That's right. You gave me that one for Aoi Yoishi.
That's correct.
Basically, it came from the Japanese PS2 game, but it was translated into American PC game. It was pretty fun. Basically, you go on the islands, and you cannot score. You play games with women. And you've played games with one woman. That's right. There aren't any other guys out there. And guess what? You still cannot score after going through all these exercises and adventures and picking all these choices. And all you ever get is not scoring.
So what would be your score for that video game?
That was very funny.
That was just really bad. Kind of cheap.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I don't know. I've never been nearly as much as a part of gaming scene as a lot of people. Though I do have to admit that part of how I got into anime was through rediscovering Final Fantasy around college when I first entered college. So because the storyline in Final Fantasy VII very much takes itself after Evangelion, and so that's just it.
Everything takes after Evangelion.
Yes, it
does. Your life actually takes after Evangelion.
Tell them what you sent me for my birthday, Ray.
Dude, what is that? EVA 1 actually there causing you angst when you're trying to assemble it? Huh?
Well, you know, I mustn't run away. No, I haven't assembled it yet.
Oh.
But I will, because I think EVA Unit 2 on top of my monitor is feeling a little lonely right now. I think Asuka needs a partner here. So,
Yo, one of these days, I'm getting you a tank full of Rei Ayanami clones.
Oh, wow.
And in some sense, I could actually do that, believe it or not.
Wait a minute, you forgot. I already have one. I'm Gendo.
Oh, damn right. You're damn right.
But yeah, actually, I will be getting sometime soon a Nintendo DS game that's for Bleach. It's like a Bleach fighting game. And so it's like a gift that I'll be getting for it's like part of a giveaway that one of our Anime Souffle Club members was involved in. Hi, Dan. And so he has some extra copies to give away. So
extra copies. So here's a potential for another Bleach tart.
Yes. And so, yeah, maybe if I play through the game, I will actually go ahead and maybe see if I can write a few things about it if it's interesting enough. So, yeah.
Yes, Mike. Please do not swing that sword at home.
Yeah. See, that's yet another thing that you just don't want to try at home. No. You know, you got to leave sword swinging to the masters like me. Anyway, Ray, why don't you go ahead and tackle the short, relatively short final.
From
Kaneko-chan, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, here's from Koneko-chan, and like we said, she's from animeacademy.wordpress.com. And don't look for the triple W's, they're not there.
That's
just
right.
Say George W. Bush is not going to be there with these W's.
That's right.
No sympathy laughs, please. But anyway, another good show. Keep it up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mike, I really didn't expect to hear systematic theology in an anime podcast, and I would probably be the one of the few listeners who wouldn't be bored listening to that. Thanks, lady. You're just gonna our podcast is gonna be full of this stuff.
Systematic theology.
Stop.
See?
All right.
I bet you weren't bored now. No, seriously, I'm really glad to hear that somebody out there has some similar interest to mine. And since this podcast, since the last episode that actually came up, Kaneko-chan has actually commented that she is actually more interested in theological anthropology than Trinitarian theology. And I was so elated to see those words used in proper context in yet another part of this anime blog that I'd be happy to trade the address of my theology blog once it finally gets up. So, thank you, Kaneko-chan. You just made this wannabe theologian very, very happy.
What is Trinitarian theology?
It's all about the it's about the persona, you know? It's about the three persona who are joined in like a Trinity soul, you know?
Mike, this is anime.
Yes, I know.
But that is anime.
Exactly. So I have an excuse.
And next she says, thanks guys for splitting up your anime watching again for this upcoming season. Well, I've got news for you. It's only just going to be two of us again. I have a feeling this winter season contains more sleepers that need to be found. Mm. With you guys covering a wide range of shows, you'll probably stumble upon a few good shows that I may have never considered otherwise. Thanks again.
Well, yes. Well, you're welcome. And yeah, we'll definitely be dividing some of our duties. I think, Ray, you're highlighting Ayakashi, which I don't see anyone else doing at all, period. And
could be the reason I was talking about, that it just feels kind of plain.
Maybe that's it. Maybe it's just not that interesting. And yeah, there have definitely been a set of quieter shows this season which have the potential to bloom into some really interesting things. And that's actually going to be the subject of our next section, which is the roundtable. And so as we close this section, we want to thank all three of you for writing to us in the past episode. And we look forward to seeing all of you again. And any other people as well, if you have comments to leave.
Yeah, our 300 million other listeners who just didn't feel like writing anything.
Right. We are always welcome you coming in and saying something, and we'll try our best to say something back. So, thanks again, and this was the mailbag.
Well, that's the round table. We dance where we're able. We do routines and call the scenes of bookwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot.
And finally, we close with our usual roundtable where we discuss the current season. And today, it's just Ray and me, and Isaac, and we're all going to be talking about things that we have seen as of late. And for me, I'm going to be talking about Shigofumi and True Tears, the two shows that were just recently licensed by Bandai Visual. And Ray, talk about what you're going to be saying.
I'm going to be doing Gunslinger Girl LT. Teatrino. I said it right. And we will cross swords at True Tears.
That's right. And the thing is that because you all aren't really going to get to hear the first take of this episode, which happened 2 weeks ago, when only the first episode of Gunslinger Girl Il Teatrino came out, you won't get to hear the delicious ranting that both Jeremy and or Ray did about that show, because it seemed so horribly wrong at that time.
God.
But apparently some things have changed since then. And so, Ray, why don't you first talk about that? Why don't you lead off here?
All right. Well, the thing about Gunslinger Girl, the second season, the first episode was simply just wrong. After the last time we with all the one old wonderful OP, you know, good ED, and you know, like basically each episode with that, it wasn't muted color, it was still computer digital magic, but the color wasn't as bright and wasn't as charcoal-y. I don't know what it is, but you know, every episode was about a character and it was something to resonate with. You know, especially the couple episodes. One episode, you know, you really feel like crying, but it's just something that chokes up. And there's another episode that I got really pissed off at the trainer, and I just I was very angry. You know, it's like you resonate with the characters and everything, and wasn't moe. They were like young girls, but you know, it wasn't like a moe version of high school in Italy with people with guns. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened with the first episode of the second season. It was moe taking place in high school in Italy, and people were using guns. As the episodes progressed on, it has gotten better.
How?
Well, you know, like, you haven't seen any of it, right?
I haven't. I have seen the opening sequence of the second season. And actually, I don't think it's horrible. It's just bad because this is the second opening of Gunslinger Girl.
It just doesn't compare.
If it were any other anime, it would actually have been fine. Actually, above average. But because the song is actually not that bad. But it is not the Delgados. It is not The Light Before We Land.
It just feels like one of a high school. It feels like a high school show opening.
Not quite. It's actually very similar to the opening of True Tears, which is really interesting. It's that kind of song.
True Tears is not in high school.
It is set in high school, and it is a romance show, and it's an above average romance show. But it felt like that. But it certainly was not the Delgados. And I mean, the thing was, that song was so good, it single-handedly got me into indie pop. Like, I started exploring the Delgados and buying their albums, and then buying artists who came from the same general area, like Belle and Sebastian, and other, you know, Scottish indie rock stars, and soon enough, I got into this whole scene of music, and it all can be traced back to me hearing that opening sequence. That's how good of a song it was.
And speaking of Scottish, you'll also be watching Claymore, too.
Yeah, I have actually watched most of the, I think episode 17 now, yeah, and so.
And that was a really bad turn by me.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, and I think from second and third episode on, basically they're starting with the arc, and there's this guy Pinocchio, who's a killer, and you know, he's got an interesting background, and of course, then when I know it's starting to improve, when, you know, during the middle of an action show, Triella actually sits down and reads the Pinocchio story.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Now, my understanding is that is actually in the manga, that storyline. And so they're probably just faithfully following the manga.
Oh, yeah. And basically, everything's following the manga. The only problem is, I guess because the animation is different, the art is different, and the music is just plain different.
Yeah.
It's more dramatic the first season. And the second season, because I have an ongoing plot line, each episode is a self-contained drama.
Ah, I see. I sometimes wonder, though, would you say that maybe maybe also part of it is that you're now finally getting accustomed to the art style and like, to the differences in style? Because it was probably a shock to see how much they changed it the first time around.
Yeah, it was like 10 tasers.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Exactly. And so it was maybe just getting over the shock, and after you finally got over that, it was...
It's also like a football hitting the man in your groin.
Yep, exactly. It's like it seemed like they took away all the things that made the original Gunslinger Girl distinctive, like original and interesting, and they replaced it with kind of stock anime style, which is interesting because this studio and this director is not known for making stock anime. Which is Artland was the studio that produced Mushishi, which is one of the most highly original and well-written animes ever done. And the director had also done Ghost Hunt, which has some terrific suspense and terrific tension in their scenes. And so it's really interesting how all these talents can come together and seemingly screw things up. But it seems that, would you say maybe that hopefully the source material, the manga story basically, can help save it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen a few volumes of it, and I say the manga is still pretty good.
Okay.
So, and then, yeah, like I said, you know, like it's getting more, there's more action, sure. I wouldn't say the action scene is better than the first season, but there are more story, more conflict, more drama, obviously. You know, and with this Pinocchio guy, if you've seen the manga, you know what I'm talking about. He's very cold-blooded. You know, like, and you have this moral, basically, that people on his team are nice, are less cold-blooded in some ways than he is. But he's seemingly like the nicest person, but no, he's not. And but yeah, he wouldn't take out. Okay, I don't want to do any. I don't want to say anymore. But you know, like it just gets better. You know, he confronts Troella, and you know, stuff happens, and all the good things are starting to happen now. I think.
Interesting.
Of course, I hate it when Troella blushed like she was in high school.
Oh no! Yeah, we've seen that a little too much in anime these days, I think. Yeah, it's interesting because regarding manga, because I'm finally starting to come around and reading some manga here and there. Like I was reading the manga version of Rosario plus Vampire. And I was amazed at how it's really interesting because I like the art style of the manga a lot better. I think everybody looks 10 times cuter in the manga. There's also 10 times less fan service, though there is still some. And the thing is that the storyline is almost unchanged completely. Some of the order is different, but the storyline is basically all the same. So it's not like, because I saw a lot of fans complaining about how different it was from the manga. It's not really different in terms of storyline. It's different mostly in the amount of fan service, in the amount of panty shots, and different in the art style in that they made a lot of the characters, I think, a little plumper, fatter, especially Kurumu, and in the anime. Like
what? What? What?
Like she almost looks.
Come on, it's Kurumu in the anime is hot.
She's really chunky in the anime, though.
No, she's not. I know what it is. We're all Americans. We have been poisoned by these supermodel types. She's not fat, man. She's got big breasts.
She does. Oh, yeah, she does, actually. And the
thing is... Poodle-poodle-ding, poodle-poodle-ding.
Yeah, the thing is that I'm actually told that the manga also goes into more dramatic territory later on, but I have no idea. I haven't gotten nearly that far. I don't want to spoil the anime, basically, so I don't want to read
that. Is it bloodier in the manga? Somebody says bloodier in the manga, too.
Yes, it is. And Mocha, in her vampire form, is much more vampire-like. She has fangs and she has claws, and her ass and her boobs don't get bigger when she transforms, like as an anime. She's actually a lot more badass in the manga. In the manga, she's much colder and meaner to Sukune, and in vampire form.
Hey, but you know what? You drink enough blood, it's good for your health, right? So she gets plumper too.
Maybe. Yeah, they play upon that whole "I just want you for breakfast" thing a lot more in the manga. So
no, but what's wrong with what's wrong with panty shots? Thanks to panties. You know, women have something to wear under their skirts.
There was that joke, actually, in the that was an anime-only joke where I think he pulls down Kurumu's panties.
That's right.
Yeah, that's not in the... Wait, was it? It might have been, actually. I don't remember. I don't care anymore. But it's not that great of a show, honestly, but it's still watchable, which is really odd. Because a lot of shows like that shouldn't even be watchable. Like, they're usually... like are paired up with some pretty limp pacing and writing, but for some reason you can keep going and watching it and you can forget
this
about
just
half an hour.
Excellent voice acting. Like you just like they're just so those girls are just so great.
And this animation is also, at least for now, very smooth, which is not unusual because it's Gonzo. But that's the thing. I mean I'm still sort of getting my toes wet into manga adaptations. I read a little bit of Sayonara Zetsubou-sensei manga as well. And I have to tell you, if you read the manga, the anime makes a lot more sense, especially structurally. It makes a lot more sense. Basically, the anime is very faithful to the manga. It actually replicates even where all the chapter breaks are in the manga. So that's why it seems like some things kind of break in the middle and then start a new story. That's just a new manga chapter. That actually makes sense of a lot of different things. And it also makes it very clear that what that show's doing is that it's not really telling a continuous story. It's really telling little episodes or little vignettes, usually focused on one concept or one idea.
Yep.
Once you get that, actually the show isn't nearly as confusing as it was before. So I think that really helps. So check out the manga sometime if you're confused by that show.
And you bought all these manga, right?
They're not actually licensed for U.S. release yet, so...
Yes.
It's the equivalent of us downloading fan subs for unlicensed anime. Let's put it that way. So, But actually, I was here primarily to talk about another couple of shows. Or I'll talk about one show, and we'll talk about another show together. Shigafumi. Shigafumi is probably the serious show of the season, with, I think, the most original premise so far. It's about a letter carrier, a supernatural letter carrier who belongs to the Gospel Union rather than Western Union. It's her job. Her name is Fumika, and she carries a talking staff, a really sarcastic talking staff, I might add. That's where all the humor in the show actually comes from. Yes, the show does, in fact, have humor. It is her job to deliver a final letter from a recently deceased person to whoever that person, dead person, designates to receive it. It's usually a close friend or a lover or a very bad enemy.
This is before the person dies, right? The person writes the letter, and the person before he dies, or she dies, says, "Please send it to."
No, it's after they die. They write these letters in the afterlife. And, there are hints that Fumika, the letter carrier, is in fact an angel because she actually has wings that she summons from time to time, white wings and with feathers. So far, the arcs have been either one or two episodes long. They're mini arcs. And they all focus on different people who, you know somebody or who is somebody who died and about what happens when they get that letter. Because the letters don't always contain good news. They're not always that sappy kind of like, you know, I never told you how much I really loved you type things. The things that Clannad...
Like Touched by an Angel, right?
The things that Clannad is doing right now. and yes, like Touched by an Angel. It's a lot less sentimental than that. And I think it's a very interesting, for one thing, a meditation on death. Especially the most recent one, episode 3. The one that got censored. And and I can sort of see why they may have wanted to change something at the end. I don't want to give it away because it reveals something crucial about the main characters, about the staff girl and her and her staff. But in either case, I can sort of understand why they might have been a little nervous about that. But it's not at all like gory or explicit or anything like that. It just explores what happens, to people in the face of death and what happens to the living who survive them, and it's. It's very well done. It's an excellent premise. It's an excellently executed thing. And best of all, Fumika wears a letter carrier uniform and she carries a gun. And she wields the gun on people who refuse to get out of the way when she's delivering a letter.
You got mail.
It's the baddest police... No, it's the baddest postal girl you'll ever meet.
No. She just goes postal.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes, she does. That's not an ordinary postal worker we have here. Because apparently they're allowed to carry guns. So. But yeah, that's episode 4 just came out, actually, just in English recently, and I need to watch it and write a little review about it, because that's one of the shows I've decided to commit to writing about on a regular basis. So it's check it out. It just got licensed by Bandai Visual USA. And they're going to be releasing a DVD in U.S. release by May, unfortunately, at $30 to $40 a pop for 1 to 2 episodes each. So that is a little pricey. Ooh. Me, I do intend to buy the legitimate version once a thin pack comes out. It's scheduled only for 13 episodes.
I'm telling you, that pricing scheme is not going to work.
It really isn't. It's the Japanese. Basically, it's the same price the Japanese pay, and without the extras. Because usually Japanese DVDs come with a ton of extras. Like, not on the DVD, but, like, figurines and collectible items. kind of like the deluxe editions. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah.
Yeah, but finally, both of us want to talk about one show that we both really enjoy, believe it or not, giving our very divergent tastes, and that is True Tears. What? Tell us what you like about it.
Just kidding.
Yes, ding, 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 ding. This is, I think, it's about as rare as a solar eclipse, I think. Yeah. What did you like about it, Ray? I mean, that's really interesting.
Oh, it's realistically, and it's realistic, and it's restrained. Uh-huh. Watching it makes me feel like I'm in a Japanese high school for real for the first time.
Yeah, I really think that it doesn't... It's a show that has some really interesting, quirky, and fantasy elements, but it doesn't draw a lot of attention to them, so it's relatively low-key. Like, the whole thing with that girl, Noe, who's really into chickens.
With a chicken fetish.
With a chicken fetish and these chicken bird feet everywhere, like, for him to follow and pick up. You know, that could have been played, if Ki had been in charge of that. That would have totally been used as a moe charm point in a totally, really obnoxious way.
Well, sounds like a strange melodrama.
Right. Something you'll find out she has some kind of awful past. Wait a minute. I think that's probably what's going to happen anyway, too, in True Tears as well.
Oh, my God.
But
I know. It's like something about chickens. Like, she had a chicken friend. And the chicken friend was eaten when the chicken was grown up. And she reminded, like, one of her friends who died. Or wait, some shit like that.
Probably. I mean, that's what happens in episode one. Her chicken dies. And she turns the coop into a grave. But and the thing is that, however, is that the mood of it is so different. Like, it's so... Yeah, it's really restrained. It doesn't use a lot of background music. It's, the interaction between characters is relatively believable. Which
yep.
is, for this genre, notable, because it's usually just the opposite. And
I mean, these are just your ordinary shy... Well, Japanese people tend to be a little shy on this issue anyway, but they feel like you're normal, everyday teenagers in a different country, basically.
Right. And so, I mean, you have also this other girl who lives with the main guy in the same house because her parents took her in after her parents died.
Right.
So, and so,
and it's very realistic that they haven't scored yet.
It's really interesting, yeah, that they are still very emotionally distant from each other for the most part, even though they apparently did have some childhood memories to share together, as every anime of this sort usually has. And so,
and she's the childhood friend character.
She is the childhood friend character, though she's a bit of a more of a quieter type, because I think usually the childhood friend character is a tsundere, in many anime. So, but in this case, she's kind of the quiet, you know, restrained one. Sort of like Kaede in Shuffle, except without the neuroticism and insanity. But
psychopathicness.
Exactly. And
neuroticism. I mean, she is not going to pull out a knife in the next second and start stabbing Makoto. I mean, what's his name to death?
Yeah, you got it right. It's Makoto. Yeah, it's... speaking of Makoto, there was a very interesting OVA for School Days that came out. But back to True Tears. One thing I really like, actually, is this whole... I was actually initially put off by the thing with her trying to collect tears in a little bottle. I thought that was a little hokey and just this side of contrived. But kind of like with EF, it grew on me, and I started to realize this is part of the rules of this world. And one thing I really like, too, is how... You know, the main guy character is a budding manga artist, and he tries to imagine sequences in his head about taking things that he's just experienced in real life and putting them in together in new ways. And I really like the way he does that, because some of the best parts of the show actually are when he does that, and for me anyway. At the episode that I stopped watching at 3, it looked like there was going to be some pretty relatively ordinary romantic tension going on.
Was that the episode that where he finds out she says something about, like, I like the basketball player?
Yeah, that one. And so, I know you've gone farther than me, so don't spoil anything.
I'm not saying nothing about it, yeah.
Yeah, but the thing is that, yeah, there's definitely kind of I'm getting kind of a Code E vibe to it. Code E has a very mild science fiction / fantasy premise, but it's not as important as the character relationships. And unfortunately, that show got cut off, like, straight in the middle. When it ended in its first season. Fortunately, a second season is coming. But it kind of reminds me of that. I mean, Code E worked best when it was a low-key romance. And I really mean low key, ha 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 ha, because it's devoid of a lot of, not all of, but a lot of the things we associate with cliches. So at least the girls don't all look the same like they do in key anime.
No, they don't have like eyes bigger than the nose, bigger foreheads,
and those weird chins,
right?
And those extremely tiny mouths, and
right, and those big hair. And...
Yes, yeah. I just want to see somebody trying to cosplay that.
That with the big eyes?
Yeah, like try to get the whole look down, not just the clothing, but like...
Yeah, like that's ever possible.
It would look like a... It should look like a space alien. I mean, really. Eyes all distended and everything? Yeah, I know.
A couple more things about True Tears is that it has excellent animation. And oh, when it yes. has music, you know, it's decent, it's pretty good music. And it kind of has a fun little ending sequence where they actually use all digital. Mm-hmm. So they're like, you know, digital people walking. But I would have to say, though, sometimes when you see people walking, especially if I'm looking up, mm-hmm. even in the normal scenes, you can tell it's very digital.
Yeah. There are a lot of overhead shots in the show, actually. I noticed that. There are a lot of shots like as a shot from the sky. And it's that seems to be kind of a trademark of that show, in a way. It's not as obvious as the trademarks that we saw in EF. But also, yeah, actually, you mentioned the soundtrack. The music is actually very good. It's very mm-hmm. good partly because it's used sparingly. And when it's right. actually used, it's very appropriate and very very melodic. And I really like melodic. So it's and so that's the sort of thing I really like. I mean, even H2O, Footprints in the Sand, actually has a very good opening sequence. A surprisingly yeah. good opening sequence.
And, but it still does not rock my soul.
It certainly doesn't. It's a show that... It reminds me of Myself, Yourself, the more I think about it, actually. But it wants to try to do a few things differently, but it's too mired in its genre to be able to do so. And so it's not going to live up to its promise, especially that promise.
I know. And I have not shed any True Tears yet.
No, not yet. Not yet. I don't think it's time yet. If they're smart, they'll earn it. They'll have you doing it by the end.
Oh, I doubt it. If anything that can make me actually want to cry is that episode in Gunslinger Girl. And you probably know what I'm talking about. I think it's about Angelica and the book.
Yeah, I think actually I do know what you're talking about. So, yeah, I mean, you have to, you know, people don't realize how hard it is to really genuinely earn emotions in storytelling. And so it's, you can't just simply present a sad situation. I think that's something that Key has been steadily learning over the years. That's why I wasn't moved by Air that much. I mean, and whereas with Clannad, I think they finally started getting it. They finally started picking up on how to do it right, and which is why I was disappointed with the most recent arc, which I thought was a bit of a step back. But on the whole, they seem to be learning.
It's just another girl with who's obsessed with another seafood.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, and that and like, I mean, they somehow made Fuko not annoying by the end. That for me is a real accomplishment because I was really annoyed by her at first. So,
just have somebody who's obsessed with lobster. That'd be Homer though.
Yeah, that would be Homer Simpson. Homer already they've already done an episode about his lobster obsession. Yeah. Actually, I want to say one last few things, and I want to say this because I think this is something where we disagree. I really don't like they are our noble masters. I really think it's a very weak show.
Yeah, go ahead. Tell me why you don't like it, son.
It's because it's... I mean, for one thing, I don't think the jokes work. I don't think the comic timing really works very well. Like, I think they drag out jokes a little too long. To the point where it stops really being that funny. Good example is the opening scene where where he's being challenged to, like, and what... Like what is a butler? You know, it's clearly meant to be imitating the opening sequence of the first season of Hayate no Ryotaku.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
But it falls flat because again, it just goes on for too long. I also don't buy into the blatant fan servicing kind of elements because they're shoved in your face and not with a wink, wink, nudge, nudge the way that Rosario plus Vampire does sometimes. But I think it's done clumsily, and I think it's done in such a way that that just seems really awkward. Okay, there was one moment where I kind of laughed. it's when the big sister is going around and she meets this guy, and it's like, you know, it's like, hey, baby, you want to come out with me? Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have a brother complex. That was the only moment where it showed some self-awareness of what was going on, which I think would have really helped. Because, yeah, and so that, but other than that, you know, there's some very clear attempts to try to take off of Hayate no Gotoku. Like the pigtailed, you know, blonde, you know, girl is obviously right. supposed to be Nagi, you know. But of course they've added that older woman who has really big boobs. You see her in the very beginning, and also I just don't find the characters, the principal two characters, to be all that interesting either. Hayate on the one hand was instantly funny and charming.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he started plotting kidnapping, and it was his good angel that was, you know, going after him. And so I just thought it was a poor man's Hayate no Gotoku, and I just lost interest in it after two episodes.
Well, but, you know what? I agree with everything you said, but I still like it because it has enough fan service for me. What can I say, man? It's something that's even easier on the eyes, and I like I like the seiyuu because Yuto Goto Yuko's in it.
That's right.
She's the second sister. Mm-hmm. And I love it when the big sister keep on trying to take advantage of her every time she can.
Exactly. She is actually kind of devious. That's right. She is kind of an
opportunist. The main guy is really nothing. I'm sorry. Yeah, if you want to debate on that ground, it's a piece of shit. But I'm not debating. I'm not even there with you on that ground. I'm somewhere hovering. I'm just saying, dude, every time I turn on, I can see something stupid.
I mean, the thing is that I'm comparing it to Rosario plus Vampire, which is also a dumb show, but it's watchable. I think it works, actually, for the most part.
Yeah, it's funny, isn't it? You can have two fan service shows, like, mm-hmm. all kind of dumb, but Rosario plus Vampire has this very nice charm, whereas the other show is clumsy as hell, sure. And there was this one where the butler, like, for the second show, the butler... the muscular, the guard butler guy,
right,
was driving a limousine like Initial D. That's not even possible.
Yeah, that, and I think when they introduced that main older butler guy, that he came out with all those roses, like in shoujo anime. Okay, that was funny too. That was funny.
Yeah, too. But the whole show is about the big sister keeps on trying to get the little sister naked, and they kiss, and she forces to kiss her.
Ah, I see. So yeah, there's a lot of Yuri so far. A lot of Yuri overtones in the show too. Yeah, exactly.
My favorite Seiyu's doing it, so why not?
I think we all know what your priorities now are, right? Oh yeah.
Yuri, and this is not Russian.
Yes, not that kind of Yuri. Exactly. Sorry, Hinano. But anyway, that pretty much does it, actually, if there's nothing else for this first legal adult version of Anime Diet Radio. Episode number 18.
I feel pumped up.
I'm your host, Michael Huang.
And this is Raymond Hugh from Taipei.
We will then return next week, or next time, with the real jam. See you all next time. So sweet, 憂鬱な心も 消えるの 主人公が 長期不在